Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everyone. Sorry that we are late, but this is the Gilcast simulcast on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast and the Roto Grinders Podcast Network. I am Davis Maddock. I am joined by, of course, Sammy Reed and Nate Noling. Two of the three of us are just hating our Mondays. We are not enjoying ourselves in the slightest. And one of us played a running back who was a dog to see two targets and just printed money anyways. Sammy, take your laps, bro. Take your laps.
I don't know, man. It's just, it's more of an art, you know? You just got to know.
It's really, it really is more of an art. It is. Yeah.
You just got to know that it's November and Derrick Henry's facing the Jaguars and he's 6.9. So that's real nice. And he's just going to smash. That was easy. It was way better than what you cucks put in. You know,
I will say this, Nate. I scored about 30 less points than you, I think, maybe 20, and my lineup is just objectively better than yours. Your lineup.
Nate's lineup is an abomination.
No. What did I score? 117? What was the catch line?
You played in Keel Harry and Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, because I got Michael Thomas. I went Michael Thomas and Julio. I don't even want to do this show.
I'm looking at your lineup.
Guys, I don't even want to do this show.
You think I want to do this show? I didn't, Nate. You think I want to do this show? I didn't break 100 points.
I didn't clear 100. I didn't hear a word from you.
Well, so here's the thing. Obviously, if I play Jameis, my lineup smokes yours. Like, it's just, that's not up for debate. So let's talk about quarterback. Why are you guys better than me, and why did you play Jameis instead of Matt Ryan?
Davis, I tell you this every week. He is extremely high floor and extremely high ceiling every time. You saw Matt floor. I mean, he's going to get 300 yards passing. He will get 300 yards passing, and he does throw passing touchdowns. I don't care how many interceptions he's going to throw. He is, week to week, one of the higher floor guys out there. This was a no-brainer. Why would you pay more for Matt Ryan?
He was projected for more points.
Bad play.
Not a bad play. He was the most owned quarterback in all the high stakes games. There's no way he was a bad play. Jameis was just a better play.
I don't understand how people weren't playing Jameis before this week, and then this week he was like the lock of locks.
Yeah, we locked him in really early in the week, like during the Gilcast last
week. We locked him in last week. Yeah.
So what? Like, then you went to Matt Ryan and what, Julio? I mean, why do we play Julio? Why do we think the Falcons are?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Why did we play Julio Jones?
Why did we play Julio, and why did you play Matt Ryan? It's one thing to play Julio. It's another to play Julio and Ryan.
They had the highest team total of the week by, like, 4 points. Like, no one else was even close to them.
Pretty sure that's not true. I mean, they did Pretty have sure. the highest team total, but...
So, they had a... I will tell you guys right now. Okay, no. The Browns were close.
Yeah, this is a made-up Davis Maddox stat.
That was made up. It was just the highest total. It was the only game over 50 of the week was that game.
I mean, the reason is because he popped the optimals. And people were like, well, shoot, I got to play Matt Ryan. Like, I think he was popping in DR stuff, and he was popping in the blitz, and... You know, people.
Yeah,
are like,
he was the top projected quarterback. Yeah,
but it's wild. He was 45% owned. Ryan was, and Jameis was 9% owned. Mm-hmm. I mean, 5-1.
Because people legit think Jameis is bad because he throws interceptions.
Well, he just plays in the most optimal way.
Yes, he throws the ball downfield.
Matt Ryan is really like the kiss of death for cash lineups, though. It just never works out. Like, that dude has chalk. You just can't do it. I mean, he basically, Matt Schaub came in for the last possession and outscored him on the day with the touchdown pass to Calvin Ridley.
Which is not the first time that's happened this year.
Matt Schaub has been the only good Atlanta quarterback this year to play. Because he was 4K. You paid 7 point whatever he was for Matt Schaub. That's what you did.
I mean, I feel like Julio would have smashed if we had Matt Schaub in there.
Here's the thing. Julio, he left the game with a shoulder injury, and he actually came back in. Like, he tried. He tried to, gut it out for his bros, and it didn't happen. But
yeah, he became the first wide receiver not to smash against Tampa Bay all season. Really,
I don't
impressive.
Feel – I don't know, whatever. Obviously he ran horrible in this game. He got 271 passing yards and only played three quarters. And then, if he gets that touchdown to Calvin Ridley, he gets the 300-yard bonus, he gets a touchdown, and whatever. Then he only loses to Jameis by 15, I guess, or 12. Instead, he lost
then
by
– Jameis would have thrown more. Jameis only threw the ball 28 times.
I thought it was all about volume, bro. Matt Ryan threw 46 passing attempts. Volume is king. Nate.
Oh, Matt Ryan was – Jameis still led Matt Ryan in expected points this week because of where he throws the freaking ball.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I just Matt Ryan was projected for more points. Obviously, he did not get as many points because he's horrible, but I don't – that part of my lineup was – sure, it's regrettable, but I'm not going to stay up at night thinking about that being a bad decision, because it wasn't. It was just one of those things where you flip a coin and sometimes you get it and sometimes you don't. I will say, though, there are mistakes in my lineup to be found, and they are mostly found at the running back position, because, Sammy, I did not get the memo that Derrick Henry was going to be 40% owned.
I actually didn't get it either. I was shocked and appalled that he was that high owned. I thought I was this low-key genius. Just dude, late game hammer. I'm just going to smash people. I mean, the truth is we had all these running backs in the 5K range. Phillip Lindsay and James White, Miles Sanders and Brian Hill. And they're all just horses' asses. And at the end of the day, I just felt so sick about playing any of them that I said, you know what? I'm going to be sharp and just not get any of these guys in my lineup. I'm going to play running backs that actually get the ball and are good. And that's what I did. That's why I won.
I didn't think Henry was a bad play. I just couldn't believe he was as owned as he was.
I didn't think he was a bad play.
I thought about playing Henry earlier in the week. And, I mean, he was the second – I had him behind Kamara, I think, as, one of the second best upper-tier running backs. It was, him – it was Kamara, him, or Fournette were, the – but – I didn't think he was going to be 45% owned. Oh, my goodness.
There was a lot more Derrick Henry in optimals than I realized on Daily Roto stuff. Way more. Now that I'm looking at it and running it with no restrictions, he was in a lot more of these lineups than I initially anticipated.
I think I texted you guys on Friday and was like, I think Derrick Henry is in play, and I hate myself. And he was.
Yeah.
But I just didn't play him. He wasn't a bad play. Semi. Sharp move.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. He ran hot to get where he did. I mean, he had one catch.
Well, he scored two touchdowns in a span of 20 seconds, the first time someone has done that since LaDainian Tomlinson.
That was hot. That was real hot. And he had a screen pass touchdown called back because of a hold on it. So, I mean, they had, I think, multiple shots from the one, and they, did play actions and stuff. He had a four-touchdown game. Just sitting there easily could have happened. But the truth is, he's not the kind of running back I generally like to play in cash, and normally I wouldn't consider him, but it was just that kind of slate where there were so many
bad players to be considering.
Yeah, there really were, and you guys considered some really bad players, and then you put them in your lineups, which, I mean, let's hear the mea culpa, because you guys played a running back that ended up with negative yards.
Well, really, really, Nate played five wide receivers. If you think about the fact that James White was never, ever, 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 ever going to get rushing work in this game. So So of course we all played Kamara. Kamara was like a non-debatable part. He was the highest owned guy in cash games. Everyone was going to play him. And then in my mind, the running back pool after that was Brian Hill, Miles Sanders, and James White. And I guess theoretically, projection systems did like Kalen Ballage a little bit, but they don't know that he's never topping 2 yards per carry. So I was not considering Kalen Ballage. I think Kalen Ballage outscored James White, though.
He probably did.
I think James White did. Everybody outscored James White. Points.
Hey, Patrick Laird outscored James White. My Patrick Laird lineup would have actually been better because it would have had Zach Ertz.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
I would have loved to see you cash Patrick Laird in your lineup. Can we talk about that for a minute, that people are, like, up in arms this morning about Patrick Laird? Because doing a meme about it. I mean, you really love to see it. Like,
people are upset.
People are upset, Nate. People are upset because no one.
Mad.
Yeah. No one likes to have. He was 1% owned in the Millie Maker.
People are mad at Overzet, like not getting that he's like Borat. You know what I mean? Like, they're the people who are getting trolled by Borat and like,
no,
doing
just people don't
interviews.
Like to have people don't like to have fun on the internet, man. People just, they always want to take themselves so seriously.
I didn't consider Brian Hill at all. I didn't think he was in play. I thought Lindsay was in play. I thought White obviously was in play. I thought Sanders was in play. I don't think I considered Lindsay or Hill at all.
So here's the thing.
James White was not in play, as we found out.
I don't even talk to me about this James White thing. How did he end up with a season low in everything?
Because they just it was wet and it was gross and they were in the lead the entire time, so they just gave Sony the ball. Yeah.
I think what I'm realizing is there's a leak in my game that I will never ever consider, like rain, unless it's like a monsoon. Like, I'm not gonna, oh, it's a wet game, I'm not gonna play James White. If he projects well, I'm gonna play him. And if that's a leak in my game, I'm gonna lose.
Like, well, you also have a leak when it comes to snow, Nate.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, but here's the thing. Like, when it's snowing, you're like, oh, they're not going to pass the ball very much. Like, it's going to decrease that. I mean, when there's a lot of rain and wind, you had to consider the possibility that Belichick was just going to go really run heavy. And I feel like, and tell me if I'm wrong, you guys thought that because their receivers were out and the weather was bad, they'd do a lot of really short passes, and that would help James White.
I don't know. Nate would assume that would be mentally weak thinking, but I will confirm right now that was definitely a thought that I had. That, like, I also thought this game was going to be a lot more competitive. I did not think that Dallas was going to go without scoring an offensive touchdown. I thought that New England was going to be forced to actually try and move the ball a little bit. And if they had been forced to try on offense, I think that James White would have gotten more than 0.9 DraftKings points. That's just my professional opinion.
Yeah, your professional opinion is that Jason Garrett was going to go into Foxborough and, like, actually compete with Bill Belichick.
No, my professional opinion was that Dak Prescott, who leads the NFL in YPA and EPA, was I actually don't think Dak played that poorly, but
wow,
the
efficiency team metrics have volatility. Shocker. Shocker.
You think YPA is like a, I mean, it's like the number one explanatory variable for football games?
Week to week, it has volatility. And so if you're building your projections around efficiency metrics like that, you will.
Well, Dak was projected for like 14 DraftKings points and didn't get there. It was not really so much about that. But, Nate, it's really more of an art. It's really more of an art to think about.
It wasn't the weather. I'm never going to play somebody because of the weather like that. I played James White because he projected well, because I projected him to have similar target share to what he's had the past couple weeks. And he literally just got a season low in workload. I mean, he literally got a season low in workload. And I mean, Rex Burkhead had 5 targets and he had 2. Like,
I mean, that is Rex Burkhead is better than him. So, like, that is something to probably consider, is that Rex Burkhead is like a more versatile and more useful NFL player than James White.
I mean, you guys legit paid what, 5.3 for a running back who never is going to get like more than 2 carries and never is going to get goal line work. And you're just praying.
That's not true. That's not true. He does get goal line work sometimes. Sometimes.
James White has averaged like 13 to 14 DraftKings points expected every
single week. In the sense that he literally gets in between 12 and 14 DraftKings points every week, and that's it?
Okay, right. But from a floor standpoint of, like, I did not think his floor was this low. I mean, he literally saw 7 targets the week before, 3 the week before, 5, 8, 9, 9, 10, 4, 7, and then he saw 3. Like, when they were low on wide receivers, I just didn't expect this. And I got it. I got a 0.9 from James White. What was the cash line? Would I have cashed with any other running back?
126, right around there.
So I would have cashed with literally any other running back.
That is correct.
Not Brian Hill.
Okay, well, chances of me playing Brian Hill are slim to none. I would have played – I think the next running back I would have played would have been Sanders. I just got off Sanders because of the Ajayi news. No, I probably would have played Lindsey.
Sanders played a lot, and Sanders should have, like, had 30, I think. That's, like, a conservative estimate based on how many just stone cold – like, dude, okay. If you guys don't watch the games, you probably wouldn't be that tilted by Sanders' performance. You'd be like, oh, you know, he was targeted a couple times. He grinded to 11.5. But let me tell you this. Carson Wentz – just, it was like he was like purposely trying to sabotage the team. It was unbelievable how bad he played. Like, Sanders wide open for two separate instances where he would have scored,
and Wentz just missed him. Where he missed him in the flat was egregious. That was the most wild crap I've ever seen in my life. Like, he missed him by like 10 yards, and there was nobody there. It was just a walk-in touchdown. He was 5 yards away. The craziest thing I've ever seen. And when he missed that, I was just laughing to myself. I'm like, I am making money today. This is happening.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're fading that play in like the first drive of the first drive of the game, you see this other guy, he's just like, oh, well, okay, he's not gonna score. He's not gonna do anything today. Yeah, you just know you're walking into the money.
So, I wanted to see. I wish Nate had played Sanders so that we could have seen him play 3 Eagles in cash.
So I looked at a 3 Eagles in cash team, and I decided, you can't do that. And like, it was going to be Vance McDonald and J-Matt or Dallas Goedert and N'Keal Harry, because I just, you know, I didn't want 3 Eagles in cash. That proved to be a correct decision, but yeah. We should probably move to wide receiver now.
We should spend the rest of the podcast talking about you guys playing James White. That was an all-time tilapia play. It was like so bad. Like, American dollars spent on James White.
If you, Sammy, if you remember, this is the second time this year I've fallen for this trap. Where I was just like, oh yeah, James White, it's fine.
I mean, it's just...
I believe I played David Montgomery and James White in the same lineup earlier this year.
That was smooth. Very smooth.
So,
very smooth. Nate, what do you have to say for yourself?
Nate, if you try and defend this, I'm going to legit get mad.
Nothing. I played James White.
No, I don't. James White, whatever. You need to talk about how your thought process led to you rostering N'Keal Harry and Jordan Matthews both.
Okay, N'Keal Harry was like a lock.
He got 3 targets, so he was a lock.
Okay,
I think it was 4, honestly.
Okay, I wasn't gonna not play N'Keal Harry, and I think that was not a question. Julio was the play, and then getting up to Michael Thomas to me was like, when I found out I could do that, I was like, great, I'm doing that. J-Matt, I don't think was a bad play. He had 6 targets last week. There was literally no people available for Philadelphia. He was 3.5 in a game that they should have passed a lot, and he ran, I can't remember how many routes he ran last week, but they were all at like a 13 A-dot. I mean, there was a no-brainer play at 3.5. I felt better about J-Matt than I did about N'Keal Harry, I think. Are you just – what are – I don't even understand what you're upset about. The running back position this week was brutal. Fading a third running back was the sharp move. Everybody else got single digits points from one of their guys, either Brian Hill, Phillip Lindsay, Miles Sanders. Fading that tier of running back was the sharp
move. Well, you know what people did is they just played Derrick Henry as their third running back.
But Nate's answer was, I'm putting in J-Matt. And I'm not taking the L on it. I'm just jamming him in, and I'm not sorry. Jordan Matthews was on his Fritos 2.5 weeks ago. And he's attached to Carson Wentz, who can't throw the ball accurately 5 yards down the field.
What's the thing is like in isolation, I don't actually think J-Matt is that bad, but piling J-Matt and N'Keal Harry on top of each other to get in Michael Thomas just was I don't have the explanatory words to tell, like, just that name, that was so, it was so galaxy brain. Like this was the playing four cheap guys to get in Darren Waller week 12 version, except you did it with Michael Thomas,
which is fine because Thomas is actually good, but I mean this is just peak Nemo Noling at its best.
It's because he hates Odell Beckham for some reason. He just like is just like Odell Beckham is like a pox on lineups to Nate, and I don't get it.
Why you don't like
Odell, bro?
I mean, I wasn't gonna play Odell over Julian Edelman.
So why didn't you play Edelman?
Because I wanted Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas has the highest freaking floor any week.
I shouldn't have played Julio. Do not be a results-based fish.
I'm not. If anything, I shouldn't have played Julio. Michael Thomas was the highest projected wide receiver for me, highest projected value wide receiver, and he had the best range of outcomes. He has
every projection system, so Daily Roto, The Blitz, 4-for-4, RG, everybody, not only had Julio Jones as a better value, had Julio Jones projected for more raw points than Michael Thomas this week.
Okay, well, those projection systems, I don't know what else to say. Michael Thomas has the highest floor of any wide receiver every single week, and it's not even close.
How high is Jordan Matthews and N'Keal Harry's floors combined? Like a floor of like 5.4 DraftKings points?
Michael Thomas has an above 30% target share with an 8 out of 8, and he literally is like one of the most efficient wide receivers of all time.
Nate, everybody knows Michael Thomas is great. No one
is telling you Michael Thomas sucks. Everyone is telling you that doubling down on 3K wide receivers is just mega mind, like just stone cold mega mind.
I mean, I don't think that was where the value was. I don't feel bad about that. I feel bad.
I mean,
about who.
We had Odell Beckham project. This is actually crazy. We had Odell Beckham projected for 20.4 DraftKings points, and he got 20.4 DraftKings points.
Oh, wow. Very sharp.
It's just, there was like not a second, and I, like, whatever. Like, I suck. Clearly, I played James White, but like, I just don't get how Odell Beckham wasn't like the second guy you click in your lineup after Julio.
Well,
you gotta
explain it to me. I think we all miss the Jarvis Landry revenge game narrative. That really,
it's the big, big revenge game. Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing: Julio is not who we should be paying up. This, he literally has a less than 20% target share. What are we doing paying 8K for Julio?
Well, I think that Hooper being out in a lot of these projection systems was like missing, like Hooper's 20% target share shifted a ton over to Julio, and Freeman, to be honest.
It shifted a bunch to Russell Gage, who...
Yeah, Russell Gage is just the stone-cold killer there now.
Honestly, yeah. Davis, I don't feel bad about the Michael Thomas thing at all. I feel bad about Julio. I should have paid down for, like, Julian Edelman instead of Julio. I could have saved $1,100 and paid up instead of... I could have gotten to Fournette instead of White.
I really, this is really tilting me.
3K wide receivers who are guaranteed to get 5 to 10 targets is the one. They were
N'Keal Harry, and N'Keal Harry got 4 targets and had 1 catch.
They were Matthews was literally not going to see less than 5 targets. Where were those?
Literally, I am Jordan Matthews' biggest supporter in history. I am close personal friends with Jordan Matthews, and I'm telling you, this was bad. It was just
how many
bad.
Snaps did he play? Did he play every snap?
Oh, he played all of them.
Okay, so how can you tell me that a 3.5K wide
would you have played Andre Patton for 3K? He plays every snap for the Chargers and gets 4 targets a game.
No, I wouldn't have done that because there's
Nate. It's the same. It's the same shit.
No, there is not. Alshon
Jordan Matthews. Jordan Matthews is just fancy Andre Patton.
No, Alshon Jeffrey. And no, there were no wide receivers. Aguilar, there was literally nobody.
They just, they just played Goddard and Ertz and targeted them every snap. And Matthews was fifth on the team in targets, Nate.
Matthews had a, you're missing something there, dude.
I don't think he's missing anything.
I don't think he's, I'm missing anything.
Yeah, he's missing that Jordan Matthews sucks and the Eagles suck and Carson Wentz sucks. And like he was probably like 0.3% owned because nobody in their right mind thought Jordan Matthews was a good player.
Oh, yeah, no, I lied. He was Matthews got one more target than Sanders.
He was second on the team in Whopper. He had team in air yards. He had, yes, I will play 97 air yards for 3.5K.
Nate's gonna be serving Thanksgiving dinner with like empty plates and being like, "Here's your Whopper, family."
Nate, your family can't eat Jordan Matthews. Well, more importantly, your family can't eat Carson Wentz air yards. One Carson Wentz air yard has to be worth like 0.26, like a normal quarterback's air yard, because he's so egregious.
I don't think you realize like getting
how bad Carson Wentz is.
Getting 100 air yards at 3.5K is a profitable proposition.
How many air yards did N'Keal Harry get?
Probably like 30.
So you got 120 air yards for 7K in salary?
But Nate, this is what you always do. You justify every play in like a vacuum, and you don't like look at holistically.
It's an art, dude.
Yeah.
You're building a lineup where Michael Thomas basically's got to get 35 or 40 to salvage you if Jordan Matthews or N'Keal Harry or both of them have their floor games. And by the way, the cheaper the guy is, the less targets he's going to see, the lower the floor is, and the higher the probability that they hit that floor.
Julio was the mistake. Paying 8K for
a guy. Your mistake was not playing Odell Beckham. That was the mistake you made.
Odell, Julian Edelman, anybody other than Julio, and I would have gotten up to. Yeah, that was the mistake.
So I wish that we could make fun of Sammy here, but Devontae Parker is just a baller, dude.
Sammy had a good lineup.
It's about time. I mean, I was pretty over that 5K running back tier, but I was also over that receiving tier. You know, that Edelman and Beckham were like fine plays. Like, so I'm not going to sit here and say they weren't. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought that the salary at wide receiver two was better spent to get good running backs than it was to like just jam in an Odell Beckham or an Edelman or whatever. So I paid down there and I played Devontae Parker, and he was pretty good. He got, you know, whatever, 10, 11 targets, and he's been getting that kind of volume ever since Preston Williams got dusted out. Like, I think he's got like a 43% air yard share, which is like top five in the NFL since Preston Williams went out. And he's really kind of become a number one receiver. And in a game where they rated to trail, which is every game for Miami, I just thought he'd see a decent amount of targets, and I thought that was just fine for the extra money that I could spend to like play Le'Veon Bell. We didn't even talk about that. Like, my running backs were Kamara, Le'Veon Bell, and Derrick Henry. So I didn't mess around with any of the scrubs, and that ended up being good. And it's something that, like, Adam Levitan talked about on one of his pods that I think helped me out. He's like, look, like, these Nate, you're saying like receiving efficiency is so volatile week to week. And it's like, okay, if I have a guy who I think is going to see kind of similar receiving numbers, that's a lot cheaper, even though he's going to be less efficient, like Devontae Parker compared to Odell Beckham, you know, I'm just going to pay down and use that money for more assured stuff, like better running backs.
Yeah. Devontae was a great play. I mean, he projected to have insane opportunity for his salary. That's not a bad play at all. I think Sammy didn't have any mistakes other than I think I was on Le'Veon earlier in the week and got off of him just because there were so many questions about his workload still. That'd be
His workload was bad. He was spelled by Bilal Powell a decent amount, and then they were up so much that he almost didn't play the entire fourth quarter. They put in Ty Montgomery. And he was
and super Josh close. Adams. He got like 12 carries.
Yeah, that sounds about right. 12 carries, 5 targets. And, it, dude, he had a touchdown that I think was a touchdown.
I think it was a touchdown, too. I don't know why they didn't give it to him.
Yeah, and then they had another play from the one, first and goal from the one where they play actioned and got it to Griffin instead. And, I mean, he could have had a much better game. But the reality is that he he's kind of got that floor that, you know, he's like James White with carries, basically. And he was only 1,100 more than White. So I just thought, you know, he's also going to get some goal line work, et cetera. I just thought he was spending that 1,100 there was a much better spend than like paying up at wide receiver too.
Yeah. So we all played Dallas Goedert. He was actually a lock.
Yeah. So people are adding me like, did you play Caden Smith and Cash? This and this.
They don't even know that we dropped Caden Smith and our co-owned team together to start Scott Simonson, except Sammy was such a mega mind that he didn't even remember to start Scott Simonson after we dropped Caden Smith.
Yeah. I picked him up and left him on the bench because I was busy tinkering with my DFS lineups and, cost us 1.5 fantasy points. But I did keep him in a GPP or two, but the reality is that when, you know, he was never a cash play. Like, Caden Smith was never a cash play.
Starting Jaden Graham over him in the Scott Fishbowl is going to cost me the playoff spot, even with the 53-yard Jaden Graham reception. I mean, you just can't keep Caden Smith down.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Caden Smith's just a boss and all-time boss call. We all played Dallas Goedert. I thought he was a lock, and so did you guys. When all the receivers were out, they've basically just been using him on every snap. His performance, Davis, was one of the
most special things I think I've ever seen. He had 7 receptions and ended with less than 10 DraftKings points. I would like to run a filter on Pro Football Reference to see the last time that someone did that, because
Matthews 5 years ago.
Probably Jordan Matthews. I would say that one of those Sam Bradford Eagles actually probably has a chance. You know, the Jason Avant stat line: 5 receptions for like 6 yards or something. I mean, I guess I did consider Vance McDonald like a decent bit. I thought that Vance would see a lot of targets, and the Steelers just didn't throw the ball at all. They did just run the entire time. I will say, Sammy, I did post a lineup in our group chat where I just straight up played Ertz over Sanders with a punt defense, and that lineup would have cashed no sweat.
Yeah, Ertz,
It's almost like just being stuck on a lineup construction isn't kind of the right way to play.
I muted Nate because I'm not even gonna let him finish that. Okay, Nate, you're
Nate's
back
like,
now.
You got it. Nate, I mean, if you look at Nate's lineup, he actually played 6 wide receivers. Like, I'm gonna count Kamara and James White. His lineup literally projected for like 8 carries.
the leading rusher on Nate's team was Jameis Winston.
Was Jameis Winston? Well, that's another thing about Jameis that I
Samuel, so that Samuel's 4 rushes would have like doubled his team total.
That's another thing about Jameis that people don't realize. He's been running. He runs a lot.
Yeah, a little bit.
No, he's like had more rushing yards than like Dak over the past 5 weeks.
Yeah, he's been taking off.
He's been running like 30 yards a week.
So everyone knows, I haven't paid my Zoom.us bill, so we have 6 minutes and 22 seconds left of this. And if you're wondering why I didn't pay my bill, you've heard me talk about my lineups for the last few weeks, so you guys get it.
This will be the last Gilcast. Why did you guys not play Cincinnati's defense?
I considered it. I just ended up having, what did I go, Broncos 2,400?
Didn't need the salary, yeah. Bro.
You didn't need the salary. I mean, J-Matt provided everything that Nate needed.
Well, no, I just, like, so my Bengals team was the Ertz and Goddard both team, and I'm not coming on this podcast and being like, dude, I played the mega mind double tight end lineup, even if that leads to me winning, I'm not doing it.
The fact that you would play Goddard over J-Matt is so funny to me.
Is literally so obvious, like you'd have to be a galaxy brain to not see why.
There's
Nate,
no
what are you talking about?
With a tight
Nate,
end there.
This is Nate, this is literally the stupidest thing you've ever said on the history of this
J-Matt
show.
J-Matt plays more snaps, more air yards. What are you saying here? J-Matt is on every single snap. Goddard only comes out when there's a two tight end formation. Any other formation they run, that's like 35% of the snaps that he is excluded from just because he's the second tight end.
Have you watched J-Matt play football like the last 2 years? He's no, literally
he hasn't
useless,
been
dude.
Football.
I love Jordan Matthews. He is just useless. He's going to play the rest of this year and not score a touchdown. Goddard will probably score four the rest of the way.
Well, luckily,
I mean, the Eagles
play J-Matt the rest of the year because Alshon will be back and all these guys will be back, and I'm never going to play J-Matt again.
Yeah, but J-Matt's going to get cut, bro.
Yes,
like,
I don't care.
Be back on the couch.
It's not about what I think is going to happen over the next couple weeks. It's on this specific week. And you played a 30-snap Goddard. You would play a 30-snap Goddard over a every down player like J-Matt, who's running down the field 13 yards.
How many snaps do you think Goddard played?
I don't know.
Well, no, tell me how many you think. Just okay, I will tell you the total number of snaps they played, and you tell me how many you think Goddard played. They played 76 offensive snaps. How many do you think Goddard played?
I'm saying 45 to 50.
He played 66 of 76 offensive snaps.
You got to watch the games, Nate.
Nate, you got to watch the games, bro.
I was so tilted about that card. I couldn't watch that game. J-Matt played 100%.
Yeah, J-Matt played six more snaps. And that's where all that EV came from, was those six extra snaps.
But he saw less targets. He had a higher whopper. He had a higher area.
Oh, my God. If I have to hear Nate say whopper one more time.
He had a higher expected fantasy output.
Well, you can expect whatever you want, and that way when the scores come out, you can be really surprised. But Jordan Matthews is never it, Chief.
I'm so mad. I Nate refusing to take this L of double playing J-Matt and N'Keal Harry is like just infuriating to me.
Okay, there's two L's to take this week, James White and Julio.
We didn't play Derrick Henry, who was 40% owned and got 35. That's a pretty big L. We played James White over Derrick Henry.
James White was the L.
Dude, we're in like week 12, and I feel like you've learned nothing about the first 11 weeks of the season.
I've made profit. What do you mean?
I've made profit.
That's what I've learned.
I'm so mad.
Davis
continues to hold on to playing DFS like he used to from 2016 and continues to lose money because he can't get his head outside of a three running back every single week. Even though Miles Sanders and Brian Hill are these guys you're jamming in there because you go, running back has a high floor. Use your
Sanders brain. Was a good play. Sanders was a good play.
Davis was projected to play less than 50% of the snaps after the
– He was not. Hurt. Not by good projection systems.
Davis, you scored 22 less points than Nate Noling. How does that feel?
And feels like maybe
3K wide receivers.
Feels like Matt Ryan should try.
Points.
I shared that running back with you. Feels like a tough scene. That's what it feels like.
I mean, I'm not. I'm not trying to like. I don't know. You're.
We have less than a minute, so you clean us up here.
I was just gonna say, I think your lineup was better than Nate's. I'm sorry. To
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.